Yeah, welcome back to Coast AM. And it's been one of those nights. It's Friday the 13th, and we're just rolling with it. We're talking about the weird, strange things that happen, why they happen. And maybe there is an explanation after all. I certainly think so. I think we're getting there. I think the parade goes in one direction, and that is to ultimately understand why all these things happen and to get rid of the superstition and some of the old ways, but keep the good part about the old ways that binds us. Because after all, I mean, we come from a place of ritual and from community and from villages, and they're founded on these ideals that are sunk to the very core of our being. But that's not going to stop us from shedding the yoke, the crushing yoke of fundamentalism, and moving on to a larger understanding. And that is a difficult transition for some. Some people wrestle and cling to certain ideas and because it sustains them. And other people can't wait for this, golden age, this new age to spring upon us. So some people are in fast forward mode, and some people are, I don't know, in reverse. It takes all kinds, though, to make the pages of life turn over. And we had somebody on hold, so let's just jump back into that. And it was, who was it? Line one, yeah, wild card line. Jerry from Provo, welcome
Well,
back.
thank you, Rob, for holding me over till the top there and not trying to force me in.
No,
I appreciate
I
that.
just got so engrossed in the conversation. So, what's on your mind?
Well, one thing, the last caller, let me clear one thing up for him.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of our military or Area 51, as he put it, dictating what the UFO people do, for a lack of a better word. It's a matter of that's what they want. They found a cohort on this planet to help them promote what they want to do. So basically, I mean, I've always looked at it as if UFOs want to be known, they just land on the White House lawn and who's going to stop them? Right?
Well, sometimes they do. I mean, look at the Phoenix Lights. That was there are all kinds of mass sightings.
Oh, no, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. It's their plan. It's not our plan. We're just willing dupes. And as far as you were saying, all these other sightings that have come over the ages, well, it slipped. They got seen, but they got this misinformation bureaucracy to cover it for them.
There you go.
So I think they'll clear that up for them. But what I told Tommy I wanted to talk about, and this is something I've really wanted to talk about for a long time. You got to understand, I'm one of the most broad-minded, open-minded people. I'm one of these guys that can sit back and listen to everything, and I can put it up in the sky like a jigsaw puzzle. And I put this piece there and that piece there, and all of a sudden, oh, wow, that piece connects with this piece. And I kind of keep an open mind on everything.
Great.
It doesn't mean I believe everything. It's mean that I store information as I can to come out with an ultimate conclusion. Now, recently, what's really been bugging me is this whole idea of a one universe, single consciousness. We're all connected and everything else. I can agree with that. We are all connected through God. You have some, George has had some great guests on, and the rest of you had. And I mean, one woman comes to mind. She had a near-death experience, and now she does healing, remote healing.
Sure.
And it was really great. And she talks about it's all about love, and it's all about, furthering brotherhood and everything else. And I think she truly believes it, and it's there. And there's so many gifts that I keep hearing, it's all this one consciousness, and this is love. And it's basically the New Age religion. And my litmus test to all of this is I want to hear Jesus Christ's name mentioned
Oh, he
in
does,
this.
though. I mean, this is not a religious show, but I know
No,
that.
no, no. I'm not faulting you. No, I think it's great. I'm saying my litmus test for me and what I believe that if they're truthful or if it's for good or bad. I mean, like this woman who does the remote healing. I think she totally believes it. I think she's doing a great thing, but I never heard the name Jesus. See, I'm not trying to go on a religious rant here or anything like that.
Okay.
But what I'm trying to say is that if you actually understand the Bible and read the Bible and understand what it says, this is all predicted. You have false prophets in the end days that will tell you, you know, oh, well, who can go against brotherhood and loving and this and that? The problem is the devil, if you understand the Bible, devil, Lucifer, whatever, he's a great deceptor. He can make these people believe that what they're saying is for the good of mankind, when maybe it isn't. And again, like I said, I don't want to go on a big religious...
No, but you're saying this, for what rings true for you, is this context and how it relates to the Bible. And that's perfectly understandable. Everyone has that filter, and everyone has their own litmus test.
Well, and I just... I don't know how to put it into words. But
well, I mean, the things we talk about are some of the most esoteric things that you're going to hear on radio. That's why the show is so phenomenal, it deals with these things. And you're right, it touches at the very, you know, core of our consciousness. And to get that stuff out, you know, in terms, sometimes is not the easiest thing in the world.
Well, yeah, I guess what my point is, Rob, is that, like the guest he had tonight, and like the guest I was talking about earlier, and so many others,
okay, that
will go into this, that if people would, and again, I don't want to go on a religious rant,
okay,
and try to convert people, because that's ridiculous.
That's not what we're here for.
You actually read the Bible.
The bottom line is that if you read the Bible,
that it's there. It already tells you that it's there. That yes, this is one universe. We are one consciousness. It's all linked into Jesus. If you don't believe that Jesus is your Savior, coming from the other side.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jerry, I appreciate it.
Rob, thank you for having the patience with me to talk to me about that.
I'm glad you got it out there, and I do appreciate where you're coming from. I hope you have a wonderful night, and I do appreciate you also on your comments on the Area 51, too. You know, when it comes to these mass sightings, and he brings up a good point. You know, there have been mass sightings. You know, Phoenix Lights and the one at the Belgium Flap in Mexico City. You know, they had these extraordinary displays. So these things happen all the time, and you got to remember, you know, this is United States of Amnesia, according to Gore Vidal, and the United States is very unusual when it comes to UFO phenomenon, simply because, and this is what I like to talk about, is that we had a traumatic event happen to us. Roswell was a traumatic event. There was this crash, and it not only crashed into our soil, it crashed into the collective psyche of the United States. And the first reports out of Roswell was the Army said, yeah, we found a saucer. Saucer landed, saucer recovered. But then the Cold War mentality took over. And it's been locked away. Just like a traumatic event happens, your mind reacts and makes you forget about it, like a concussion. You suppress it. So we have this cognitive dissonance going on. We have this kind of, you know, Americans are saying, well, on the one hand, we do believe because we know it's true. And on the other hand, the government's telling us it's not true. And when you have this disconnect, that's why there's this crazy dysfunction. Now, the reason I say all that is because other countries didn't go through that. France and Russia, you know, Chile, they never had this event happened that twisted them all up inside. So they experience this phenomenon in a much different way. Believe me, just go traveling around and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Let's jump back in the phones. They are buzzing. Let's see. Let's go to, first time Caroline. Let's get on the first timer on here. Friday the 13th from Humboldt, California. Joe, welcome to Coast to Coast AM.
Hey, how's it going? First time caller, long time listener.
Welcome.
I was trying to maybe put a little bit on your the guy who spoke first in the first hour and second hour about the balls of light.
Yeah.
There was an anthropologist back in the late 60s, early 70s, wrote a series of books called The Yaqui Way of Knowledge, Carlos Castaneda.
Yeah, of course.
And he spoke about Don Juan telling him during his learning about all the sorcery about every human being is born with a ball of light that is in their stomach that has these luminous fibers that make us up as a person. And as a person either gets stronger spiritually or weaker, that ball of light grows or diminishes. And as he spoke through the books, he actually talked about how he could, the Don Juan, the sorcerer who was teaching the anthropologist, he said, I can actually see these balls of light in people. He could actually move through different dimensions. And this is a pretty accredited anthropologist. And to this day, I mean, I read these books about 10 years ago. I still can't figure out if he was telling the truth, but I mean, I've actually seen a glowing orb for over 5 minutes before, and it was happened to be on an Indian reservation in Northern California. And, I mean, Indian people, they actually are pretty in touch with, you know, with the world the way it was, and I think they might have been on to something.
Joe, thanks for bringing that, you know, nugget back around from Carlos Castaneda. I think so many people have those old paperbacks that are sitting up in their attics.
Yeah, my dad actually gave them to me. He said, you need to read these.
Exactly. Me too. You know, the older brother hands them down. But don't you think, though, that maybe not even without having the ability to see them, but don't you think people literally have a light in them? And some people just radiate and glow. And that could be kind of what they're talking about with this ball of light inside of people, and whether it gets dimmer or whether it gets brighter.
Yeah, I really do believe, because, I mean, there's certain people that, you know, like one of your earlier callers was saying about the dog, how they're just attracted. I think that's just a natural, I think certain individuals in this world are just naturally, they have a good spiritual, you know, sense to them or something. And their ball of energy is so massive, you can't help but be drawn to these people.
And sometimes somebody will walk into a room, they just light it up, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Joe, great one.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling. That's Carlos Castaneda. Yeah. Remember those books? I remember very little of them, but, you know, you start to remember more. I remember that they used to do, of course, these peyote rituals. And so Don Juan said to his Padawan, his learner, he says, no, you only take the peyote that presents itself in your path. So you never go looking to buy things to do ceremony with or, you know, to experience with. You have to wait for it to present itself right in front of you. So go walk to the desert. And if you come upon it, great. If not, keep walking. Quick break, coming right back with your phone calls. Welcome back to Coast AM. And we're talking about phenomenal things. I know that Mike has been hanging on for a long time. East of the Rockies from Hancock, Wisconsin. Mike, welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, no problem, Rob. Been listening to you guys for 3 years. Vietnam vet, 60 years old. I've learned so much stuff in the last 3 years from you guys, George and John and Tommy. I gotta give my hats off to Tom because he's a very nice gentleman.
He is.
Semper Fi. I always told George that when I call him. But anyway, it was a very good show tonight. What I called was about in 1975, we had left Aberdeen, Maryland, and we were on our way to Phoenix, Arizona, and we were going through Gettysburg, and we were going through the battlefield, and it was probably about 11:30, maybe 20 after 11. And the other guy that was driving, I looked over to the battlefield, and the soldiers were there. The guys were there, walking, angry. It was cold. It was in the fall. But I said, let's go downtown. So we went downtown to Gettysburg, and there's brick streets and stuff there. But it was so quiet, but there was a party going on. It was like all the soldiers, all the people were there. But there was nothing. There was nothing there. It was just a different world.
Like,
and I've held this in for so long.
Yeah.
1975, and I always want to tell George about that.
Like a window sort of opened up to the past?
It was, man. I'm telling you, man. When I looked, and I've been, like, through Antietam, the battlefields and stuff, and but when I looked at Gettysburg, the battlefield, those soldiers were there walking.
Yeah, and this is something that, you know, again, we hear over and over again, isn't it? I mean, this is just one of those.
It just blew me away.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I said, Don, we got to get out of here.
And you could see it once and never see it again.
Never. Yeah. You know, and there's so much stuff I've seen and witnessed in my life, you know. And, you know, I'm a Vietnam vet, disabled vet, and it just, the things that go on and the things we touch on this show, you guys are just phenomenal. I can't. I tell everybody about Coast to Coast.
No, I appreciate
and
that.
We're a little town of 400 people.
Out in Hancock.
And I've been on this show many times.
Yeah. Well, Mike, I mean, this is what it's all about. I mean, it's people like you that come forward and say, hey, there's something amazing going on, and I want to tell people about it because, you know, this is what life's all about. It's about, you know.
Yeah, and listen to everybody, you know. You know, sure, I mean, you can't listen to everybody all the time because everybody, you know, you got to give everybody a chance to get on and talk because we won't know if nobody says anything.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm going to get off of here and just listen to the show. And I
appreciate
really it. Appreciate you talking to you, Rob. This is the first time I've ever talked to you, but.
God bless, Mike. I hope we talk some more. Be well. Well, you know what? We got to go back to the Skype line. I mean, Skype has been hanging on for a long time. Tony in Virginia, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Rob. How are you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad you can hear me.
Sure. You sound pretty good.
Oh, good. Good. It's a fairly new computer. I'm still working out some of the tweaks in it, so I'm glad to hear that I've got audio settings good. Do I have time to ask you a question and tell you a story?
Well, let's start with the story.
Okay. Well, the story's kind of follows along with what we're talking about tonight. About in 96, 97 year, I went to a small Bible college in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I met this girl there that we were very, we weren't boyfriend, girlfriend. We were just, you know, close, you know, whether it was close, not quite boyfriend, girlfriend.
Okay.
But,
yeah.
You know, one of those close friendships. And we were really close. We seemed to knew each other without even knowing each other, you know, the kind of relationship we had. Well, one night we had, we were just out on campus, just walking around and talking and doing what we normally do, you know, on a weekend.
Okay.
And she said, just out of the blue, well, I'm going to go dream hopping tonight. And I looked at her and I'm like, what? And her name was Christy. And if she's listening, she probably knows what I'm talking about.
Okay.
She said, well, I'm going to go dream hopping tonight. And I said, do what? And then she said, yeah, I want to go hopping around people's dreams on the campus. When I go to sleep tonight, I have the ability to go into people's dreams and see what they're dreaming about.
Well, hold it right there, Tony. I'm going to put you on hold because we're just up at the break. But I want to hear about this. I want to hear about this dream hopping because you know what? That might be fun. I might want to try that. It's not dangerous. You're listening to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone. Stay tuned. We're coming right back after the break. Welcome back to the program. This is Open Lines, Friday the 13th. Having a lot of fun, and all of a sudden, I look at the clock, and the show is nearly gone. I don't believe it. But right before the break, we were talking to Tony in Virginia, and he was telling us about his girlfriend who invited him out of the blue to go dream hopping. And, Tony, what did you do?
Well, I kind of looked at her, and I kind of said, well, what do you mean by that? She said, like I said, I have the ability to go in people's dreams and see what they're dreaming about, and sometimes I can affect. And I just kind of looked at her, and you know, at the time I kind of was into that kind of thing because I'm a little bit into paranormal, even more so now, but at the time I was kind of into it and playing Mr. Skeptical just to see if she was, you know, being honest or not. I said, well, I'll tell you what, Christy, tonight when you go to sleep, you go into my dream and you don't tell me you're there. And tomorrow when we see each other, or when we see each other the next day, you tell me something from my dream, something about me that I have never told you about before in my life. And this is our first semester, so, you know, I'm sure I told her about a lot of stuff, but she said, okay, I'll do that. Well, anyway, I went back to my room and went to sleep, and sure enough, there she was. You know, I didn't tell her that I even noticed her in the dream. I didn't even tell her.
Okay.
But, you know, I just thought, oh, well, she's in my dream because, you know, I see her practically every day here on campus.
Yeah, you were thinking about her. Yeah.
And I was just thinking about her and, you know, a few other, you know, kids from the college too. And so I thought, well, you know, that's why she's in my dream. That explains that.
Sure.
Well, the next day I saw her and, you know, I was expecting something. And she said, I said, well, what do you got to tell me? And she said, your aunt right now, she calls you her sugar man.
That's pretty.
And my jaw dropped. My jaw dropped.
Yeah.
I had never told her about my Aunt Raina before.
And that doesn't sound like something you'd tell someone straight away. I mean, yeah.
And I had never told her that my Aunt Raina used to call me her sugar man.
You probably didn't tell anybody. But so how did she find out?
Well, I dreamt about that in my dream. I dreamt about my Aunt Raina, me, you know, going home for a visit for, you know, at college. And I went home and that was one of the things my Aunt Raina told me. Like, she always used to tell me, Tony, you're my sugar man.
Well, how did she come into your dream like that? Did she ever tell you how she did it?
And she just said that she always had the ability to go into other people's dreams. And I said, after that, I said, you know what? I believe it.
She had it. She had a gift. Yeah, she just had this ability that she didn't learn, maybe, huh?
And, you know, I know it's probably true because I know I've heard through other shows that George has had, and Ian and you and a few other people, that, you know, shared dreams can be a common thing.
Mm.
People can come into dreams. But when she said, your Aunt Rainey, I'll call you her sugar man, I'm just like,
proof positive. Yeah, that's an intimate detail. Well, Tony, I appreciate the call. I've never heard that before.
Well, I have a question for you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I have a follow-up question.
Sure, go ahead.
The last time we talked was the last time you was on.
Okay.
And I'm the ham radio operator that talked to you about talking on the single sideband.
Yes, I remember.
You had that guest on who recorded that weird sound from 4 hertz. Was it 4 hertz?
I don't remember the frequency. What they did was they recorded this radio frequency and manipulated it so it would be an audio file, and we played that on the air.
Yes, and we played it on, and you played it on the air.
Yeah.
Who was that, and was there any follow up to what I asked about?
I have not heard anything from that show, and because the reason why I played that was so people like yourself maybe could identify it, because we were trying to figure out what was it, HAARP, and, you know, what was it had to do about, it had tied into the chemtrail phenomenon, and no, we have not heard, but I'll tell you what I will do. I will grab a hold of that file, and next time I'm on the air, I'll try and get around to playing that again.
Well, who was that guest? I forgot his name.
Was that Clifford Carnicom?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
Clifford.
There you go. Well, I appreciate the call, Tony. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next time. And I appreciate you. I'm going to write that down right now to replay that sometime. It was a very cool little clip there. Well, let's keep going, shall we? No, I'll tell you what. A lot of phone calls. Got to take the quick break. Come right back after this. And welcome back to Coast AM. We're in open phone lines here, Friday the 13th, and let's go right back at it. I mean, we're on a roll here. Let's go to Wildcard Line, Birmingham, Alabama. Michael, welcome to the program.
Hey, how are we doing?
All righty. How are you?
So, now, I don't want to misdirect your current talk show or anything like that, but I want to take a real quick look at the application of faith with all of the, with pretty much applies to anything, but mostly the not the last caller, but majority of your callers have been putting some application of faith towards sightings or things that they've seen or friends have seen or things that friends have said.
Okay.
And if you take a look into it, and, you know, and I take it as a look in the black and white kind of thing.
All right.
And I'm very educated. I'm not going to say my belief or anything like that. And I don't want to offend anybody, but I will lay a disclaimer out for believers to say that God has empowered me with the gift of thought to raise the question of this. They reference many things, and I will reference things, but not now, but in the Bible that will to say Jesus did, Jesus said, this is so, this is so, and they try to apply it to these things that they have seen. Well, let's take a look at the black and white. Let's look at the facts. Your grandmother, your sister, your brother, whoever saw this miraculous event. I saw an alien. I was abducted. I was this. I was that. That is fact. It was seen. It has been seen. How are we going to apply the Bible to that? And let's take it. And my question is this: how old is bureaucracy? Because, you know, and I'm not a doubter. I'm not going to doubt or punch holes in belief or the Bible or Jesus or anything. I'm going to say, how old is bureaucracy?
As long as you have more than a few people deciding something.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. That's the point. That's all we got to go with that. And in the Bible, it does say, you know, two or more people, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Okay. We all know about that.
Okay.
Let's continue with it. Now let's put up a synopsis and say 50 senators write a doctrine, and there's 50 different doctrines, and the president looks at these 50 doctrines, and he says these 35 doctrines won't do, but I will take these 15 doctrines.
Okay.
And I'm gonna manipulate them how I would like to.
Okay.
And then we'll say this is the main doctrine.
Okay.
Now let's go back and look at the application of the Bible. How many actual books of the Bible that we know of?
Right.
Not including the ones that we don't know.
There's Gospels that didn't make it according to the Council of Nicaea.
Okay. Yeah. So the writing it is of man and then manipulated by man to become what? So it's basically a book of ideals fit for someone to be susceptible. You know, susceptible to them. Don't be so naive. Be strong in your faith. Be strong as a Christian and use your freaking brain that God gave you and look at the entire picture. That if anything you take from the Bible, it's a general guidebook. If you take anything from it, take the 10 basic things. Don't kill. Don't murder. Don't covet. The 10 commandments, take it as a basic. The rest of it is for your interpretation and the application of life as you see it. And that's great. I'm not going to discount any previous callers.
Okay, well, that's good general advice. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you can't, I mean, I'm not going to say you can't, but it may be considered ignorant to some to take and say, well, Jesus says that this and this, and therefore I should believe this about a light I saw in the sky. No, if you saw a light in the sky, you saw a light in the sky. Let's take the facts of what could have caused that light, and it could have been extraterrestrial. Yeah, sure. There are other people. There are other planets. There are millions of other stars. God is a very complex being, of course.
Uh-huh.
He let us have the Bible to let us interpret.
So what you're saying is it's important to have, you know, the faith and the understanding, but also to be open and not
common sense.
Common sense, and let yourself think through things on your own, and not just go by what everybody else is saying to go by.
Exactly. Don't get bogged down. Yeah. Do not bog yourself down by these things. That's why we're getting stuck with all the decisions and everything that's going on in the real world.
Sure.
Today.
Well, Michael, it's good to hear, but I mean that's kind of what we talk about quite a bit is trying to push the aperture of your mind open just a little bit further. That's what Coast has been doing for a long time. But hey, nice to hear. I appreciate you calling in. You know what? I got to go to Tucson, Arizona. They've been waiting a long time. Let's go to Bing. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for inviting me into your living room there, Rob.
Happy to have you. What's on your mind?
Well, they talk about these PowerPoints and such on the earth. I was in an area with one of my saddle pedals in this four-wheel drive, and we went to this cliff dwelling that I know about. It's roughly 150 feet off the deck, and my partner went up there. Like I said, it's a neat place. And then coming from the southeast, I looked down a canyon. My Jack Russell, he was barking and growling, just, what's that? And I saw this Native American Indian in a magnificent buckskin, carrying a lance or a spear and a bow. I raised both palms up because I was fixing supper, and he was just nosing around the cliff dwelling, and it looks like it's been picked over. And this is an area where the Singwa Indians had lived roughly 6,000 years ago, plus or minus 2,000 years. And he appeared to be somewhere 20s, 30s, 5'10". And then he barked, and I looked down for a minute, and this individual was gone. He came down, I was fixing the steaks and hash browns. And he had an excellent spotting scope, reflective spotting scope, about 2 feet long. And I said, old Ryan's coming up. We were looking at that. I was sleeping in the back of the truck, and he's sleeping in the cab. And I look, and I see this Native American Indian looking through our telescope, looking at Orion.
Huh.
And I said, Kevin, that wasn't you looking through the scope last night. Hell no, I went to bed early. He went to bed about 10. And there he was. And where I live, there's Matapes and stuff. There's one 6 feet long with three different size holes. You see the one where the little girls worked, where the daughter worked, where grandma worked. It was about 10 inches deep. They're big rock, 6 feet long, quite comfortable for a six-footer like me to lay on. And it was a truly, magnificent experience. And this is north of the Kirshner Caverns.
Okay.
And there's a stream coming from the east.
Right.
And it went right underground. It was a inch or two stream, about 6 feet wide, and it disappeared underground. So I said, hey, maybe there's a connection to the, Kirshner Caverns. I don't know.
Oh. Well, it's clear as day. So do you think that Indian was really there, or was it sort of an echo?
I truly believe it was there. Okay. I wasn't boozed up. I wasn't peyote'd up, as in the previous thing. And I saw him twice, and you raised both arms. Hey, I got no weapons. I just got a little 20-pounder Jack Russell, and I was cooking supper. And he couldn't see him coming down from the cliff dwelling because it's like a 50 or 60 degree angle to get up to it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a magnificent scene. Yeah. And
well, Bing, what you saw was something special, and maybe it was something.
It was one of these PowerPoints like in the Sedona area or whatever. Yeah. But
and for whatever reason, it was something for you to see.
Do you remember the big freeze a year ago, February?
Of which area?
In the Arizona, New Mexico area, it got down to 8 degrees like the first week of last February.
Okay.
No, a year ago, last February.
Okay. Last February.
And I'm coming off the mountain in my truck and, go get supplies and groceries. And I thought I was two guys fighting in, saddle coats or something. I get down there and it's a 6 foot tall condor.
Huh.
With white feathers. It wasn't downy, white 12-inch feathers around that. I looked him right in the eye, big gold eyes, you know, bigger than a silver dollar. The irises were like a Roosevelt dime size, and it looked like a big carrion eater. I don't know, I'd say from 10,000 years ago when all the animals big, the saber-toothed kitties and mastodons and woolly mammoths and such. And he had white circle feathers with a white bullseye under each wing. Oh, and this was midday, around 11 or 12, you know, noontime. And down slope winds, and he was eating a javelina, roughly 24 inches long.
Yeah. These are some powerful encounters, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's a Singwa. I live in a Singwa, you know, 40 private acres in a Singwa area.
Uh-huh.
And they were in this Singua. They were in this area roughly 6,000 years ago, plus or minus 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And I watched them fly over the ridge, which is a mile and a half to the southeast. And so me, myself, I saw them from another point of view. So triangle, I think I've located its nesting area. So I'm gearing up to go look. I can't get anybody to go with me, so me and the Jack Russell will go.
Well, I hope you do get out there, and I hope you do. You'll give us a call back and let us know what happened.
Well, I most certainly will. And some friends at the U of A in Tucson said that if I bring in an eggshell and or feather, they possibly might tell me to come on. And it was not a California condor, and I don't believe it was an Andean condor, although that could occur from the winds.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, of course, what it is will have to be determined, but I hope you get up there and I hope you make it back. And if you do, come back on, tell us your story.
I sure will. And once again, thank you and your compadres for letting me come into your living room.
Hey, much obliged, Bang. Thank you so much for calling in. And away we go. Well, let's try to sneak one more in real quick. I just can't help myself. Wild card line. Let's go with Sharon from Missouri. Welcome, Sharon.
Hi. Okay, I'm going to make this real quick.
Okay.
10 years ago, I was living in Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
I worked a second shift. I was a supervisor. I'm going home about 1:45 at night. And on Fish Hatchery Road, there's two lanes going south, two lanes going north. And there is a very big train crossing.
Just about 30 seconds left.
Okay. All of a sudden, the lights go off, the bell's playing, the bar comes down. There's a guy coming the other direction, and we're listening, we're hearing this train. I look down the track, there's no light one way. I look down the track the other way, there's no light, but the sound of the train is coming. This train...
We have literally 20 seconds.
Okay.
Can you fit it in?
The train.
You know what? I don't think we're going to get there. We'll have to save that for next open lines. My name is Rob Simone, and it has been a pleasure to fill in once again here. My thanks to the entire Coast to Coast family and Thomas P. Fusco for coming in and joining us. I'll see you next time right here on Coast to Coast AM.